Recently, I had a conversation with James McCulloch on this podcast. He's the CEO of Victim Support New Zealand. And he shared something with me that really stopped me in my tracks. He's reflecting on landing his dream job at 27 years old, where he's managing 120 people across London's high-profile parks. And he said there was this inner voice that was terrified and this outer voice of trying to be confident. That's a bit of a strange thing to admit, and yet I reckon really familiar. James described spending years in what he called the double use of energy, you know, thinking about what a competent leader would say before actually saying it, and constantly managing that gap, you know, between who he was and who he thought he needed to be. Does that sound familiar? Definitely to me sounds exhausting. And that's because it is. When we're in proving mode, we're focused on being the answer. We become the bottleneck, the hero, the person everyone waits for. And here's the thing, it might work brilliantly for a while, but then we move on, or we burn out, or we simply run out of hours in the day, and the whole thing stalls. Now, there's research that backs this up. The leadership circle shows that leaders driven by the need to prove themselves create significantly less sustainable impact than those who have made the shift to what they call a creative orientation. And the difference isn't just in well-being, although that matters. It's the very nature of the change that they create. It's this shift to backing yourself that changes everything, not because you suddenly know more, but because the question changes. Instead of asking, how can I prove I'm worthy of this role? It becomes, how can I create the conditions for others to succeed? So what does this shift actually look like in practice? Let me tell you what happened with James. So 3 years into his role at Victim Support, James found himself traveling the country, listening to staff share long lists of what needed fixing, and his response surprised people. He said, I'm just the CEO. I can't actually do that much about it myself. And as you might expect, people found that a bit weird. They expected the superhero. Instead, James said something more powerful. All I can do is take your lists and go away and find some people to help me. And this is what backing yourself looks like. It's this quiet assurance that your contribution doesn't have to be everything. It just has to be yours. It's understanding that sustainable change isn't built by heroes working heroic hours, and God, we have enough of that. It's built by creating conditions where others can do their best work. Creating the conditions where others can do their best work. James talks about his leadership team in language that's striking because it's got this consistent use of we over I. And this didn't happen by accident. It came from deliberate choices. So first, he established boundaries around communication. Like, unless it's an emergency, we're not going to email each other after 6 p.m. Second, he got really explicit about vulnerability. And as he put it, we spend more time as a team talking about each other and our well-being than we do about our work sometimes. Third, he resisted the seduction to be the rescuer. It's tempting, isn't it? Like when people come to you with problems, when they're looking to you to save the day, you can be the rescuer, and it is really seductive, but James held back. And fourth, he focused on building systems rather than providing quick fixes. He wanted to build and has built the kind of infrastructure that works whether he's there or not. So this brings me to a couple of questions I'd love you to sit with for a bit. First, where might you still be operating from a place of proving rather than backing yourself? And second, what would become possible if you saw your role less about being the answer and more about creating conditions for others to find answers? The shift from proving to backing yourself isn't a single moment. It's a series of small choices about how you show up, what you prioritize, and where you focus your energy. James puts it really simply. Maybe it comes back to what you've been saying with age and experience. You kind of know that deep down you can make a difference. And the best way you can make it is to have better balance in your life. So what if backing yourself means trusting that your mere presence, your questions, your belief in others, and your commitment to building something lasting is already enough? And this is a lesson that I've really grappled with. And I think I'm at a point now where I know by being me and showing up authentically is 80% of the work. Now, this matters really personally to me because, you know, I've been doing this work for a while now, you know, coaching senior leaders and working with organizations trying to create positive, impactful change. And somewhere along the way in that journey for me, I started noticing a pattern that I can't actually unsee now. So I'd work with these really great, brilliant people, really capable leaders who care so much about their work. And we'd make heaps of good progress. You know, they shift how they show up. They build these new capabilities in their teams and create momentum around important change, all good stuff. And then they'd move on. Maybe go to a new role or a new organization. Sometimes there's a restructure and they get shuffled sideways. And within months, sometimes within weeks, it would be like, they've never been there. And this really doesn't sit that well with me. It sits pretty uncomfortably. Not because those leaders aren't good enough. They're exceptional leaders. But it's more about the way that we've been taught to lead, the way that organizations reward leadership. It's all set up for individual heroics rather than lasting impact. And living in Wellington in New Zealand, I see this play out in the public sector more times than I can count. You know, the electoral cycles of 3 years here in New Zealand, machinery of government changes all the time, leadership churn, good people that are doing good work, but it doesn't survive simply because it's too dependent on them being there rather than having great systems in place. So I've started asking myself, you know, what if we've been measuring the wrong thing here? What if the real measure of leadership effectiveness isn't what you achieve while you're there, but what continues after you're gone? And that question's led me to shift my practice, the work I do, to focus on trying to answer it. To move from helping individual leaders to be more effective and to shift more to helping them to create change that lasts, to build the kind of leadership that survives transitions, that multiplies through others, that creates this self-renewing capacity in organizations. This isn't about me being a better coach or offering anything fundamentally different in my programs. It's more about addressing something that I reckon is fundamentally broken about how we think about leadership success. I reckon what we need is leaders who measure their impact not by their personal achievement, but by the capability that they build in others. People who create systems that work without them and who can back themselves to stop that need to prove and instead continue to improve the systems that they're leading. And that's this idea of leading lasting impact, which I keep coming back to as a concept. This is what I want to shift the work towards. And this is why I'm focusing my practice here, because I've seen too much good work disappear, too many talented leaders burn out, too many organizations stuck in these cycles of dependency on heroic individuals. And I reckon we can do better than that. I think we need to do better than that. So that's my stake in the ground. You know, this is why this work matters to me. And if this resonates with you, if you're tired of being the hero or watching change initiatives crumble when those key people leave, I reckon we should talk. Because I reckon we're at the beginning of a new movement towards some sort of sustainable way of leading, and I'd love to be a part of it with you. So if you want to explore where you're at on this journey of leading lasting impact, check out my website. I've got a 3-minute free diagnostic tool. Just go to digbyscott.com, leading-lasting-impact, and take the 3-minute assessment. And then you'll get a sense of how am I tracking? And you might be able to extrapolate that to how are we tracking as an organization? And or if you'd rather have a conversation, definitely just go to digbyscott.com and book a time. You can click the button there and we can have a chat. I'd love to do that. I'm Digby Scott. This is Dig Deeper. And until next time, go well.